I want to look. I want to look at not one of the well-known disciples, but I want to look at Andrew. Andrew, I believe, is a classic illustration of one of the disciples who was very serious to be like Jesus. He was very serious about it. Because if you look with me in verse number 18 in that fourth chapter, we're going to read just a couple of verses. And because you've been sitting a little while, let's stand for the reading of Scripture tonight. We'll have a word of prayer, and I want to just spend a few minutes with you this evening. I'm just joking about that 10 o'clock thing. But I do want us to look. I do want us to look at the Word of God for a little while. And I want to ask you to join me in searching your heart. And to be honest, are each one of us in this room tonight, are we really wanting to be like Jesus when it comes to the subject we'll look at tonight? Notice what it says, verse 18, please. And Jesus, waiting by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, it's been a real joy, a real delight for Ellie and I to be here today and to have the privilege of worshiping and serving with these good, dear people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and their dear pastor. Thank you, Lord, for each one of them, and thank you for what you did this morning and for your guidance and leadership through what we would call a rainy day, but yet, God, a day that certainly has been blessed of you, and we give you praise for it. And I do ask that you bless now the time we spend together in the Word of God tonight, and that you'd help us to be honest with ourselves, and you'd help us to be obedient once again to the leadership of the Spirit of God, as we even witnessed this morning. And we'll give you the praise for what you will do, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you study your Bible, you'll find out that Andrew is only mentioned a couple of times. He's not mentioned that much. I mean, you look at, say, his brother Peter. Why, my land's alive. Peter is all through the New Testament. Matter of fact, he is the leading Christian character in the first basically 10 chapters of the book of Acts. And yet here is Andrew mentioned only a few times on the pages of the New Testament. But he has the joy of introducing his brother Peter to the Lord in 1 John chapter 1 verse 39 through 41. You'll see there where we find that Andrew findeth Peter. He introduces him to the Lord Jesus. It's interesting to see the lad with the five loaves and the few fishes. If you study that story in your scripture, you'll find that it was Andrew's name who was mentioned there that found that lad that had, again, the loaves and the fishes. And you can go on, and there's a couple of other references that you will find in your scripture in relationship to Andrew. But they're in my mind when you talk about what your theme is, to be like Jesus. In my mind, as I think about that, there's no more important work in the world than pointing other people to the Savior. When it's all said and done, when you've stripped everything away, the most important thing is to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And yet, so many people, good people, I mean, people that know their Bible and love the Lord, so many people have missed, I'm fearful, that principle. They've just simply have, for whatever the reason, failed to see what the most important thing in the Christian life is all about. It's about finding other people. And yet it's one of the most difficult things in ministries for people to capture the significance of. When I first went to Rosemont back in 1967, there was a little group of people of 17 folks was there. The vote for me to come and pastor that church that had been in existence for, since 1959 till 1967, which would be 8 years. The vote for me to come was 17-3. And two of the three that voted against me left before I got there. They didn't think that a preacher from the South was going to make it in the North or whatever. I don't know. But anyhow, they left and went to another church. And, of course, having attended Tennessee Temple and gone through the college and gone through the seminary and observed the great ministry that Dr. Lee Robertson was used of God to build there. Matter of fact, Brother Ward gave me a picture tonight of his dad. We were classmates together back in those days. And we were challenged, though. We were motivated. We were instructed. We were driven to be communicators of the gospel, to go after the neighbor, go after the coworker, wherever, whatever you and whenever you had an opportunity, tell them about Jesus. Because to be like Jesus, that was his number one. That was his number one emphasis in the 33 years he spent here on this earth. Reminding ourselves that only out of the 33 years, approximately only 3 years was actual ministry. And so in that little church body, it was the hardest thing for me to do was to convince them, to teach them, and to pray and beg God to show them that it was reaching other people that God was wanting that little church to do. Amen. And you know, the sad thing about it, when they were meeting, in that meeting, when they found out about me, the meeting wasn't called to get another preacher to come. The meeting was called by those few people to vote to close the church. Did you know that, Brother Whittington? Did you ever hear that? You never heard that story? Clyde Osmond, who incidentally lived to be 101 years old. He just died last year. But Clyde Osmond, who started the church, he had a burden for the church. He and his family were driving 23 miles up into Minneapolis to go to a Baptist church. And he had a burden, so he was the instrument that God used to bring that little body of people into existence. They had had three men that had come and had tried to pastor the church and stayed. One stayed 18 months, another one, I don't know, a couple, 3 years or something. But they all left. And so they were going to discuss, we've tried, but it just hasn't worked out. And old Brother Osmond, in heaven now, he said to that little body of people, he said, well, listen, let's try one more thing. He said, remember back in 1965 when Dennis Weniger, Pastor Weniger's son, came back from seminary at Tennessee Temple, and he preached for us that summer? He had come back to Minnesota to marry his high school sweetheart, Kathy Bardwell, and Dennis had been working with me in my chapel that I pastored when I was in seminary, which was one of the 37 chapels that Highland Park Baptist Church had at that time in the tri-state area of Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia. And he said, let me call Brother Weniger, because when he preached that summer when he was here, he said, why, we had 30-some, 40 people one Sunday in church. And he said, maybe he will come back and pastor the church. Well, Dennis had finished his seminary and had moved to Oakland, California. A suburb of Oakland is called Sunnyvale. Brother Osmond had his telephone number, so he called Dennis, and he told him what they were planning to do, and he said, but I wanted to call you and see if you would be willing to come back and to pastor our church, because when you were here, we saw God doing some things. And Dennis said to him, he said, well, Brother Osmond, he said, I really believe I'm where God wants me. He said, but, he said, when I was in seminary, I was working with a guy who was pastoring one of the chapels. His name is Ed Johnson. And he's completing his master's degree this year. And he said, you might want to call him. And that double crosser gave him my name. A Florida boy to Minnesota. That wasn't in my game plan. I had a total different plan that I had presented to God for his approval. Trust me when I say that. So I get a phone call. And the result of that phone call, God sent me and Ellie and our four children to pastor those 17 people. And for the first 18 months, I preached, I taught, I went soul winning. We saw some people saved. But I could not get one person for 18 months, Pastor Jerry, to come alongside and to go soul winning with me. Not one. Finally, an old deacon by the name of Shirley Kester, the Whittingtons probably remember the Kester family. Finally, Brother Kester came one Thursday night for visitation and soul winning. And of course, as the years then clipped by 1970, we were running over 100 people, 125, 150 on a real big Sunday. When we built the first building, and we dedicated that in January 1971, because we could not get enough property in the little community of Rosemont where the building was located. So we had moved out on the edge of town and bought 2 acres of land, which eventually turned into 37 acres of land, but at that time it was 2. But I say all that to say this. Now, these were good people. They were serious about their walk with God. They loved God, but for some reason, they could not see the significance and the importance of what Jesus says here. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, to be like Jesus, beloved, I would submit to you tonight, every one of us in this auditorium, we need to heed what he says here. If we're going to be like Jesus. Because when it comes to this matter of reaching other people for Jesus Christ, that was one of his main heart cries to his disciples. And as you start looking at the scripture, and you see what the scripture says, it's amazing to me anyhow. It's phenomenal. It's not significant theology. It's very basic. It's very basic Christianity. Because if you'll take your Bible and go over to John chapter number 1 with me and look at what the scripture teaches in John chapter number 1 in relationship to this matter of evangelism, reaching others with the gospel. It is incredible to see how basic and how elementary it really is. Because we're not told that Andrew ever preached a sermon. We know his brother Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I mean, he scalded those Jews. And you read a couple of chapters later and he's at it once again. But we never read where Andrew preached a sermon. But he led his brother to the Lord, is what my Bible says. And when you look at John chapter number 1 and you read in that 41st verse, he first findeth his own brother Simon. Because verse 40 says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And verse 41 then tells us, he found his own brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And what does verse 42 say? He brought him to Jesus. That's all he did. He brought him to the Lord. See, beloved, you and I, we don't save anybody. We don't save anybody. All we are communicators of the good news to those who need the Savior. That's all we are. And what you see here in this particular passage of Scripture that we're looking at, you see the soul winner's task. What is our task as a child of God? Our task is to bring others to the Lord. Notice the word, if you will, please. Notice the word there in verse number 41. He first, I've got that word underlined in my Bible. And the reason I've got that word underlined in my Bible is so that it will remind me. It will remind me that is my responsibility. That is my first responsibility as a child of God, is to be a communicator of the gospel, to seek to bring them to the Lord. I cannot save them, but I can seek to bring them to the Lord. You've got this big Sunday coming where Pastor was asking, he has 7 families, I believe he said, that is going to commit to bring 10 friends to church on that Sunday. He needs 3 more. All you've got to do there is just to bring them. You know one of the reasons our fundamental, independent, New Testament soul-winning Baptist churches are dying? Is because we used to have people came to church just to meet each other and visit with each other. But you didn't have TV and you didn't have all of the entertainment that's going on. You didn't have all of the NFL football that was on the TV today. And you didn't have all of the National Basketball League. And you didn't have all of that which was going on. And so people naturally came to church just to fellowship, and that's how they got saved. But we're living in a total different age and we're living in a total different day. And so we have got to understand that we must do what the Bible tells us to do. And the last time I read it, it still says, go ye into all the world and tell them about Christ. That's our task. That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. It's not because of who we are or what our education might be or anything like that. It's because God says that is first. He first findeth his own brother. When I told the story this morning of me getting saved, who was it that brought me to Jesus? Talk to me. My sister. I remember the day she walked into the house after she had come home from church. My dad was sitting in his chair, as he sat in his chair every Sunday, and read the Miami Herald. And she came bounding through the door, 17 years old, and says to my daddy, Daddy, I got saved today. My dad is reading the paper, looks over the paper and says, that's wonderful, Lillian, and goes back to reading his paper. I'm quite confident Dad had no idea what she was talking about. But it was his daughter, his oldest daughter. I've always said his favorite of the 6 kids. It was never her fault. I was the oldest. It was always, why did you let them do that? Because you won't let me kill them, that's why. I didn't say that. As I told you this morning, I like living. But she came after her brother. That's our task. And when you start looking through this scripture here in John chapter number 1, it's amazing to see different things that start jumping out at you. Because he says he first, and then look at that next word, he findeth. Now, I don't know how far Andrew had to go, you know, to search for Peter or anything like that. But it says he found him. That causes me to think, do we really realize, do we really understand all the people around us who are without Christ? The gas station, the grocery store, the convenience store, the barbershop, the beautician, I mean, whatever. They are all souls that are going to spend eternity someplace. And that's all our responsibility as people is to find them. Try to bring them to the Lord Jesus. And I believe it's not by accident here that it was his own brother that the scripture says he found. It wasn't somebody else. How many have lost loved ones? Let me see your hands. Can you believe that Dr. Ed Johnson has a lost brother? Can you believe that? The fifth child born in our home, into our family, is still lost and on his way to a Christless eternity. As a matter of fact, when mother died, and I preached her funeral on my 40th wedding anniversary. As I said this morning, she got saved on my 40th birthday. Matter of fact, I think the Whittingses were probably there for that in 1972 when the church did that "This Is Your Life" thing. Threw my mom and dad and my two sisters up. And they were the surprise. How many remember "This Is Your Life"? This is back when I think Lincoln was president or something. Probably some of you don't want to raise your hand because you don't want to admit you're that old, but I understand that. But anyhow. And then I preached her funeral on my 40th wedding anniversary. And of course, my brother was there. And the gospel was preached when my sister, who led me and brought me to Jesus, when her husband died, he came to that funeral and I preached Jim's funeral. And he was so under conviction, listen to this, that he would not come to my father's funeral. He told me he was going to have his own private viewing. And he would not come to his memorial service. You see, people, we don't win them. Our responsibility is to bring them. That's it. That's what God is going to hold you accountable for and me accountable. Because it must be the work of the Spirit of God as he takes the Word of God and applies it to the heart of the man or the woman, to where they see their need and they come to Christ. Just as those young people did today, this morning. But he found his own brother. And you know, one of the things I found in ministry is that sometimes it's a lot easier to speak to others than it is our own family. But yet, as you look at the life of Andrew, he gives us the example. He first found his own brother. That's the soul winner's task. Now, the second thing I want to show you here tonight very quickly is that there's also, though, the soul winner's testimony. See, because when the scripture here tells us in verse 41, that he findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, look at this, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Lord Jesus. That word Messiah is interpreted Christ. We have found the Christ. All Andrew did here was give him his testimony. As a matter of fact, you study the New Testament, study the life of the Apostle Paul, and you'll find basically what Paul did through most of his ministry. He simply told all of those that heard that man preach what God did to his heart and life on the road to Damascus. He just gave him his testimony. It wasn't that he had, you know, strong theological, systematic theology. And so he was reading to them strong systematic theology. No, he just told them what God did in his own life. And then it was simply the work of God, the Spirit of God, having to take what he said and apply it to that individual or those individuals that he was preaching to. Because it was the soul winner's testimony. All Andrew did here was give him his testimony. Now, I want you to notice some things, though. It was a spoken testimony. Because as you look what he says, it's very basic. We have found the Christ, which is being interpreted. The Christ, that's what he says. It was a spoken testimony. And the one thing I have found in ministry over the years that I've pastored, I found that most Christians are pretty good at conversation. I mean, man alive, I got guys at First Baptist Church of Rosemont, and that they can talk about football, and they can talk about the Vikings, and they can talk about the Twins, and they can talk about, you know, the Timberwolves, and they can talk about the Gophers, and they can talk about a ton of things. Well, why can't we talk about Jesus? Hey, to be like Jesus. If that's going to be our theme. Well, then I think we ought to embrace it. And we ought to practice it. I'm not going to ask you to hold your hands up, but what problem is it to carry gospel tract? Matter of fact, this gospel tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, Jerry L. Ross, pastor, 812-665-3282. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Route 1, Highway 59, South, Box 367, Jacksonville, Indiana, 47438. Because the first thing I always do when I go to a church, no sense of giving out a tract, and it's got First Baptist Church of Rosemont on it. Most people got enough sense to know not to go to Minnesota. So when I'm going to be passing out tracts for the 3 days I'll spend here in your community, I want to have a tract that's going to be bringing folks to a church where they'll hear the gospel and not having to drive 600 miles. Because most people today, if you can drive six blocks, you need to be excited. People aren't seeking God today, people. But that doesn't excuse you and me from understanding that we have a responsibility. There is a soul winner's task, and there is a soul winner's testimony. And so consequently, we cannot excuse ourselves. There is going to be no excuse when you and I stand before God, and we can somehow explain to God why we would not tell others about the Savior. But here's something that ought to, at least it encourages me. I hope it encourages you, because as I read this scripture, I find out that it was a simple testimony. He didn't quote all kind of theological truth or anything like that. It was just a child could understand it. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why children are more prone to get saved than adults. Because the adult has been influenced by the secular society in which they live. They've been influenced by the humanistic teaching that's been in our public schools now for over a half a century. Yeah. Right. Right. And so consequently, when the plan of salvation is presented in the Word of God and all of that secular background comes in, they say, well, that's too simple. That is totally impossible. That can't possibly be. Where the child just simply accepts it. Our senior pastor at First Baptist Church, Dr. David Clear, got saved at the age of 4 and a half. Vacation Bible School, First Baptist Church, New Ulm, Minnesota. He went to his Sunday school, his vacation Bible school, his little beginner department. They had vacation Bible time. His teacher had a lesson on hell. David went home to his mom, was troubled during the afternoon. She asked him what he was troubled about, and he told her what was going on. His mom took him into the living room, took her Bible, and led him to Christ. Senior pastor now at First Baptist Church, was on my staff for 15 years. I married him and his wife. Worked in our ministry when he was going to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. And so consequently, it is not, as I like to say, it is not rocket science. But it was a simple testimony. You know, have you found the Lord or Savior? If you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, the guy says, well, no, I don't, but I don't know how to present the gospel. Well, then, hey, how about just having the track and say, hey, listen, take this home. Why don't you just read it? I'll tell you what. I'll stop by this Sunday, pick you up, and bring you to our church. Well, not hard. Because, beloved, we, according to my Bible and according to your Bible, if you got my Bible, and I think this is still a church that has the King James Bible. Amen. Well, according to the Word of God, we have a task and we have a testimony that we will not be able to excuse away. If we're going to be like Jesus. It's a part of the scripture. But I also see something else here, because I like to think that Andrew here used what Pete was on Peter's mind, you know, as a point of contact. Because what was the Jews really looking for at this time? Were they looking for the Christ? Sure they were. And he uses that. He uses that as a point of contact, because he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Christ, which being interpreted the Christ, of course, Messiah. The Jew, as a matter of fact, the Jew is still looking for Jesus, who hasn't accepted him. And that was his point of contact. So it was a smart testimony. And there's so many people, I believe, waiting to just hear the gospel. And the problem is we don't have too many people giving out the gospel. And sad to say, many of them go out into a Christless eternity without the Savior. And when you read what Ezekiel says, in his gospel, in his writing, their blood will be on our hands. But if you warn the wicked and they refuse to hear you, your hands are clean. They're clean. Be like Jesus, folks. To be like Jesus, we must be communicators of the gospel. That's why he came. That's exactly why he came. And let me give you the last one here, because you get down to verse 42. I call that the soul winner's triumph. Because verse 42 says he brought him to Jesus. He brought him. And what a glorious experience And if you've ever had that experience, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I'll guarantee you, there wasn't a bus captain in this service this morning that did not have one of those young people except Christ that wasn't walking on cloud nine. Because you put them on that bus and you brought them to Jesus. And here's the thing. In Greene County and in Clay County and in Sullivan County, there's thousands still out there waiting to be brought. They're there. But we must understand, we must realize that it's our obligation and it's our responsibility to bring them if we're going to be like Jesus. End of report. All Andrew did, Andrew formed a human link between the Savior and his brother. That's all he did. But because he did it, we have Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost preaching the gospel, and 3,000 souls are added to the church. Read a couple of chapters on, and they're no longer adding. They're multiplying. And it's always better to multiply than to add. But the decision's yours if you're going to be like Jesus. That's all she wrote. Because there's Peters all around us. All around us. Talking to the lady in the motel last night. She says she's a Christian. I'm not sure she is. She knows your pastor. She had to step outside to smoke her cigarette. Now, I'm not saying she's going to hell because she smokes a cigarette. I'm saying she's probably going to go to heaven sooner if she keeps smoking them. If she is a Christian. And medical science is on my side. So don't get mad at me, okay? But we've got them all around us. But the key is, people, we've got to go. We've got to understand that there is the soul winner's task. There is the soul winner's testimony. It's part of the scripture. But there's also the soul winner's trial. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation tonight. I think we'll sing a hymn of invitation. And after the hymn is announced, on that first word, if the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart tonight about a lost loved one, or been speaking to you about a neighbor, a co-worker, possibly a ministry opportunity right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't know what God's doing in your heart or life. All I'm asking you to do is just to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. But I would beg you tonight, in Jesus' dear sweet name, do what you know God wants you to do. If you want to step out of your place and walk down an aisle and take pastor by the hand and seal that commitment before God and your own heart, that's wonderful. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ. I don't know your heart. But dear friend, if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus, I would plead with you tonight do what you know you need to do, because you don't know about tomorrow. If there's some other need that you have in your life tonight, I'll guarantee you I have confidence tonight that as you'll commit that to the Lord, He'll meet that need. For what He does for one, He'll do for all, if all will be like Jesus. But before we sing that hymn, let's stand for just a word of prayer tonight. Father, the message tonight has been very basic, very simple. I trust it's been practical enough to where the Spirit of God has been able to apply it to every heart and every life here tonight. And Lord, I ask that You'd work now in the heart of every young man, every young lady, every mom, every dad, every husband, every wife here, every adult. And God, as we sing this hymn of invitation, I pray that there'd be decisions here made tonight that God's going to not only bring glory to Your name, but is going to be a blessing, and God be used of You to continue to advance Your work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank You, God, for what You're doing. But yet, God, I am convinced there's so much more that needs to be done. And I pray that You would have Your will in each heart tonight. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number are we singing, my brother? 306, have I not?